They're trailblazers. They're prominent. And like all of us, they all have a story to tell. They are real South Africans on Face to Face with Success. Brought to you by Nashua. Saving you time, saving you money, putting you first.
You're listening to Face to Face with Success. I'm Nikki Webikicha.
Reading for me set me free. I think I saw worlds that I didn't realize existed, possibility.
Kopano Mabaso describes herself as an introvert, but she's also effervescent and giggly.
I didn't excel as such until very late on. I mean, I was a very random child. A very awkward, very random, very strange-looking child. That's why I read a lot. So spent a lot of time with books, but... my parents, man, I mean, I think they're very normal South Africans, but my dad comes from a typical black South African family, very poor, studied through UNISA part-time, worked packing stuff at shops and gardening and whatever, but really kind of studied part-time and made his way through, and I think we saw that, you know, we saw him writing these exams, we saw him studying, but he was also very present, and I think that's something that, you know, having a two-parent home again is a privileged thing in South Africa, so... very present parents. And I mean, he always said, this is all I'm going to give you guys. So like, you're paying your fees and there's nothing that's coming after this. There's no trust fund. I took that quite seriously. You know, there's been great teachers along the way and great books. You know, Dr. Seuss, All the Places You'll Go was sort of my manifesto. Yes. So lots of inspiring books that encouraged me to kind of keep pushing. And I didn't have anything else going for me. I kind of wasn't the pretty girl. I wasn't good at sport. So kind of books was my thing, and yeah, it worked out. My sister at my wedding showed a picture of me kind of as a kid, and I was really funny looking. My husband's like, he made such a good investment. It's kind of when you put your money in something that you don't know where it's going to go.
It seems that it more than just worked out. She graduated from UCT with a medical degree, then she scooped the prestigious Rhodes Scholarship, where she studied towards a master's in public health and is now completing her doctorate in the same field at Oxford University. In the midst of that, would you believe it, she became a literary star at just 21 with her debut novel, Coconut.
As a medical student, I mean, you've got a huge imposter syndrome. I went to a university where there weren't many black students, and so I think it helped me both escape, but then also kept me very grounded. So I kind of had this literary thing I was doing, and I was quite fortunate that it did a lot better than I could have expected. But then I went back to the wards, and I was just another student who needed to pass and needed to study. But yeah, I think with my latest novel, it's maybe come together a little bit more. And that's been challenging, I think. I mean, I quite like sort of, you know, being Dr. Mabaso, which is very different to kind of being Kopano Matla. And yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just figuring out a day at a time. But I think they're both things that I just really both enjoy and hope to be able to continue to do both.
As a public health official at the Steve Biko Academic Hospital, wife, mother of two, including an infant, her time is precious. We meet during her work lunch break at a pretty and leafy restaurant not too far from the hospital. For her, being a doctor is about making a tangible contribution to society, while writing allows her to be more reflexive.
So being introverted, I think I enjoy interacting with people, but I get my energy from within rather than sort of from without. So I find that very rewarding. And I think Jacana has been great in kind of, I mean, I think my first novel, I was 21, and so also didn't understand the industry. And so they were great in kind of holding my hand through that. And I've got amazing agents who've also just been great in kind of being that interface between the international publishing world and kind of, yeah, letting me choose kind of what are really important things to participate in and others that, you know, can let slide. And I think I must say, like being in the health system, you really just, I mean, you know, it's so tangible, right? It's kind of like the smiles of life and birth and death. They kind of just really keep you grounded. And so I think you kind of, it's a nice balance for me that I kind of can enjoy this sort of entertainment world, but actually get to deal with really the pulses and the beginnings and the ends of life, which is a privilege. At this stage in my career, I've been struggling so much with what next. That people are like, why don't you just write full time? But I can't, because it's only a small part of me. I mean, a big part of me, but only a part of me. It's not all of me. And so neither is. I think they both enable the other thing. I think writing and engaging in the arts makes me more human. It reminds me that I'm that, you know, it's a deeper truth, I think. It's a deeper truth than sort of the sums and the drugs and the, you know, there's something true in art that you can't even express, something slightly supernatural about it. And so I think it makes me a better human being, and I think I want to be a good human being, and it allows me to do my work with a lot more empathy.
Kopano's passion for social justice, whether it be access to healthcare or education, is palpable.
Because our education system really shortchanges the majority of South Africans. I mean, if you want your child to have a good education, you're paying sort of exorbitant fees, and we've normalized that. It's kind of just, you know, which is a shame because education is a public good and not enough of the public are enjoying that. So I think if we start there, I think that's the biggest sort of white elephant in the room, that our education system really does fail the majority of South Africans. Yeah, and I mean, I think probably that is the main thing, that I think if we really are serious about getting more women, more black women, more South Africans, and South Africans are majority black, but if we want to get more South Africans in science, so more South African women, we need to start in those first 1,000 days, you know, that early childhood development where you're reading to kids, where kids are safe, where children are wanted, children are excited about learning. Because science doesn't have to be kind of this big scary thing. I mean, I think it's about curiosity, really. That's what science is about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think we need to start getting that right.
Being a dreamer and a fixer, she and a friend applied for and won the Aspen Idea Award for Innovation in Medicine in 2015, which garnered them $25,000 in seed funding. They co-founded Ona Mtoto Wako, an initiative that aims to take life-saving antenatal healthcare to pregnant women living in remote and rural parts of developing country settings. Their pilot project was in the DRC, an experience which she says has been life-changing.
Sure, so that's been probably the most challenging undertaking I've been on. After the Aspen, after the TED Talk anyway, we went on to sort of pilot this initiative, and very scary, but also just very exciting in terms of the response we got, the numbers of women we saw, the community we worked with. So yeah, so we managed to kind of plant the seed, but then the next frontier was actually proving that this works in a scientific way and actually getting the funding to do that. And that's been the biggest challenge, is getting the development funding to do that. And I think what we've learned from that is really that it is really difficult as a sort of two-man show to kind of get the kind of money to back that kind of systems-wide initiative. And so my partner and I are both kind of looking to plug into bigger development networks to do this kind of thing at scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so sort of we've had to sort of put that on ice until we can actually find the funding, or at least find partners who are willing to do similar work, and we can kind of lend our learnings from that. But I must say, a very life-changing, life-transforming, very difficult initiative to get off the ground. Unfortunately, I think we worked with an incredible local healthcare community who are trying to kind of still do similar work, but it's difficult. You know, I think the challenges on our continent, and in particular in the country we were working, are systemic and political. We were very ambitious and very naive, and that if we could do it in the DRC, we can do it anywhere. And so we started in the hardest place because we thought if we can make it work. And I mean, I think the concept itself does work, but nothing exists in isolation. So, you know, we thought we're going to see women, but women came with all their children, and their children had other conditions, and then they have to pay for that. And then there's no electricity, and there's kind of this web of challenges. And I think we learned a lot about wicked problems, you know, problems where you try to fix one thing and there's an unintended negative consequence. Yeah, but the plan is that if you can scale this up in rural Congo, you should be able to scale it up in many similar settings. Mm-hmm. So that is the dream. And I mean, I think we've had to, I had a baby, and you know, life happens in the meantime. And so we had to put it on ice a little bit, but I think it's something we still very passionate about and hope to one day with the right partner scale it up.
For Kopano, success is about finding one's truth.
Ah, gosh, what is the meaning to success? I don't know. I mean, finding one's truth and living that, you know, I mean, I don't think that necessarily you can measure it, because things, there's the outward sort of trappings that kind of look like success, monetary or titles. But I think we all know what our own truth is, and I think we know when we're not kind of living in that. And I think I would think a successful life is living in that, however risky that is, even if it does mean you kind of, you know, you might not be acclaimed in your own lifetime. And we see that with a lot of artists who are only celebrated years after they've died, and good for them for still doing what they did when they weren't being celebrated. So yes, I think finding your truth and living it is a life well lived, I think. Trust your gut. I think we often know what that thing is. And it's often this, I think someone I really admire, Fritz Swanika, wrote a piece about kind of knowing what's that thing. And it tends to be the scary thing, right? It tends to be the thing that is too outrageous. And I think I felt like that about coconut. I thought at the time, geez, this is maybe too risky. And then, you know, and even period pain I thought was too risky. But those tend to be the things that people, that appeal to people. I work in the DRC, hugely risky, but life transforming and no regrets. So I think trust your gut, work hard. I think nothing comes easy. And be kind. I think you kind of, you know, if you're kind, people come along the way and you know, you don't do this alone. And if you're kind, you kind of, the universe rewards you.
You've been listening to Face with Success. I'm Nikiwe Bigicha. Join us again next time for more stories of South African success.
Visit thesolutionslab.co.za to listen to more real South African success stories. Brought to you by Nashua. Saving you time, saving you money, putting you first.